This morning, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, 28. Romans chapter 8, 28. My goal for this sermon is that when we're finished, we can say it's all good. When I say it's all good, I don't mean everything's perfect. I mean it's going to be okay. It's good. It's going to be good. It's all good. And by the end of this sermon, because of what God tells us as Christians, that can be our attitude always, even in the darkest times. But Romans 8:28 is this classic verse that we've heard before. You've no doubt used in difficult times to comfort yourself. And it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And so I want to look at this verse this morning, taking separate parts of it and really gaining a fuller understanding of what Scripture is saying here. So we'll start with these three words, in all things. That tells us in good times, but it tells us in bad times, in really bad times, God is there. God is helping us. So we come to worship this morning with things on our mind, things on our heart. This past week, I have no doubt that each of us had some concern about something. I don't think anyone had a perfect week where you had no worries, no concerns, no struggles, no frustrations, no irritations, right? No bumps in the road. We all have things. You may worry about aging parents. You may worry about your children, whether they're young or whether your children are grown. You may worry about your health and have health struggles, or the health of a loved one. You may have work-related worries. You may not know in 2 months, 6 months, or a year, will I have a job? Will I be able to find a job? You may have family-related stress. You may have relationship-related stress. You may be wondering, a year from now, will I be married? Will my marriage survive? You may have worries about your future, the uncertainty of it. What will be? Maybe struggles with sin, maybe struggles with addictions, maybe struggles with depression or anxiety, or you can't focus, or you can't remember, or paranoia, or on and on. You may struggle with grief over the loss of a loved one, or loneliness. That's just a short list. I hope that would hit most all of us. We worry. We struggle. We have difficulties. And Scripture tells us in those times, God is right there beside us. When you pray to God, He doesn't come. He's already there to the Christian. When you pray to God, you don't have to tell Him what's going on. He's already up to speed. He's been there. Now, that's not to say don't pray. Scripture tells us pray. It says Jesus said pray like the persistent widow. And so prayer is effective. But just keep in mind when you... I pray prayers oftentimes, especially in particular, praying with someone before surgery or in the hospital, I'll pray. And generally, I start out by saying, God, You already know. God, we know You've already been working. And we can do that in our prayers and find comfort in that. There's a poem that I have no doubt we've all heard or read somewhere, this famous poem called Footprints. It's become almost a cliche. It's so popular and so well seen and read. But let me read through it again. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, and defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, You promised me, Lord, that if I followed You, You would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed You most, You have not been there for me? The Lord replied, The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you. That may be a cliche at this point, but those are powerful words. how true that God is always there. And to the Christian, to those who love God, He carries us. This is one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. All your anxiety. If it worries you, God cares. If it worries you, cast that care on Him. Now let's go to what might be an exception, so to speak. You know, sometimes things concern me and they shouldn't. I mean, there have been times in my life, and not that I'm immune now, but I love certain things. I love sports. I love OU football. And when my team lays an egg, there have been times that just kind of bum me out the rest of the day. Okay. Now, if you don't care about sports, I understand. I'm speaking gibberish. But those of you who understand sports, you know what I'm saying. I've never prayed, God, you know, help my team to win. Okay, I've never done that. Thank the good Lord. I've stopped short of that. I've thought about it. But I know, does God care about me then? Yes. Does He care that I'm worried about a game? No. Okay? Does He care that I'm worried about a game too much? Yes. And God helps me, and I've worked to redirect my concern about things in life and keep recreation, keep things trivial. But the point is, God always cares about my anxiety. Now, sometimes things go from bad, and you're thinking, well, God cares, and then they get worse. You ever had things get bad, and you prayed, and they got worse? And you're thinking, 2 plus 2 is supposed to be 4. This isn't working. This isn't adding right. This past week, get a call that my dad is having chest pains. And they're driving, my brother's driving, he and my mom to a hospital in Muskogee. And so first thing I do is get that on the prayer chain immediately. And I pray and I wait. And then I get a call. Yvette calls me and says they're life flighting him to Tulsa. You know, when you pray, the next word you want to hear is heartburn, right? Indigestion. You don't expect to hear, because you know God's working, you don't expect to hear life flight. What happens when things get worse? In her book, The Hiding Place by Corey Ten Boom, she talks about the time when her and her sister, Betsy, were prisoners in a Nazi war camp. They had just been transferred to the worst prison camp they had seen yet, Ravensbrück. And upon entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded, and also the barracks were infested with fleas. Their scripture reading from their smuggled Bible that morning in 1 Thessalonians had reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, Betsy told Corey to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corey at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted, and so Corey finally agreed to somehow thank God for even the fleas. During the months spent at that camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings in their barrack without guard interference. Several months later, they learned that the guards would not enter the barracks because of the fleas. When things get worse, we don't understand. But God always understands. I don't know why, you know, why did God let the situation with my dad get worse? That morning, he had 3 heart attacks. They're sitting in the Muskogee ER, and they hook up EKG to him, and something prints out, and they rip it off, and the woman looks at it and immediately picks up the phone and starts talking about, we're going to need a life flight to Tulsa. And mom and dad and I don't know about my brother, but mom and dad are thinking, whoa, that busy day, you know, somebody's needing transported to Tulsa. Wow. Why do things get worse? I don't know. But I know when the doctor comes in and says there's no heart damage, that's a story. I know Dad laying in the hospital bed, some of you, if you're able to visit him, it wasn't just the drugs, although I'm sure that was part of it. Dad was quite chatty. You talk about being in a great mood, and you can understand why, but one of the chaplains came in at one point during his stay there, and Dad took the opportunity to talk to him, you know, about God. I mean, chaplain, you'd get chaplains. He's there to pray with you. But anyway, Dad was talking to him about the Bible and about, talk to him about communion and how precious communion is to us each week. Anyway, I don't know why God lets certain things happen, but I know God's working. Now, what about the good times? What's God doing in the good times? Isn't it true that when things are going good, for me, when things are going good, I tend to thank God. God, thank you. Boy, it's a great day. It's been a great week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I don't know that I stop and realize, Elliot, not only is God, yes, everything, every good and perfect gift comes from above, but God's doing something here. What do you mean he's doing something here? Life's good. Yeah, I know he's blessing me with. No, he's doing something. God's always doing something. If your day is good, God's doing something to bring about even more important things than what we typically view as good. Because good to me is the sun's shining, everyone's healthy, I'm around, you know, work's going well, you know, Keith's in a good mood, Janet's not being cantankerous, you know, that's a good day. But God's good is different than my good. God works. Last week we kind of ended the sermon referencing some scripture that shows God working in our life. Well, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And I want to show you three verses in addition to our main text today. And the second one, our scripture reading, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And then Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God works. We do things, yes, we serve, yes, we surrender, yes, we love. We do challenging things for God. But God's the one working through you. God's the one working in your life. And notice here, so God works, God works, God works, and then, but notice this, in. He works in. He doesn't just work for your life. He doesn't work for you, he works in you. God put his Spirit not near you or near me. God could have said, you know, that when you become a Christian, I will give my Spirit to be near you and help you. That would be great. I'd sign off on that. But God decided to put his Spirit in you. And God works in you, no doubt through his Spirit. And so, who's doing the heavy lifting here? I mean, I helped Vet and Kevin move yesterday. I'm so glad that Brian Benton was there. You know, I'm so glad James was there. You know what I knew when I saw those guys, right? I will work, okay? I worked, but I didn't do the heavy lifting, right? God's doing the heavy lifting in my life. Do you ever notice that oftentimes things just work out? You ever look back and say, boy, I was really worried back here. And, well, that all worked out. Hey, things don't just work out. God works them out. And we don't see it in the moment. But it's the reason we can say it's all good. Because God is always working in my life. Now, he's working for the good. Now, my definition of good is not always God's definition of good. Like I said earlier, my definition of good is things are peaceful, healthy, times of fun, recreation, happiness. That's my definition of good. Eliot, the earthly part of me. But God, what He wants is salvation, holiness. God wants to save and to make men holy. That's what God wants. And so I have to understand God may be working good in my life, but it's not the good as I define good. It's the good as God defines good, what He knows is good. And so when I say it's all good, I mean it's all good in the way that God defines it. Because He's working on things in my life with people around me in ways that I don't understand. And it's good for those who love Him. Many people don't live loving God. They don't live putting God first in their life. Oh, they like God and they have an affection for God, but they don't put God first in their life, meaning they don't really love God. And then when tragedy strikes, they wonder, where's God? They wonder why. And not that tragedy doesn't strike all of us, because it does. But I can't live not putting God first and then wonder, where is He, you know, in these difficult times. But notice that this doesn't say God works for the good of those who are perfect. None of us are perfect. And so it's not that, but notice it also doesn't say God works for the good of all mankind. Because this verse, what this verse is saying, God doesn't do for everyone. That may be an odd thought, but He doesn't. God doesn't do this for your neighbor who doesn't love God. He does this for you because you're God's child. What a special thing. And then lastly, the first part of this verse, we know. What difference does knowing make? There was a time in this past week when I got frustrated, really frustrated. I don't know what it's like for you, but this gives you a snapshot of what goes on with me. I got frustrated, and my mind kind of goes on a downward spiral, grumbling and complaining. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, what is it I'm supposed to think here? What's the Bible say? All things God works for the good. And so I have to stop and think about, does that make sense? The sermon doesn't just, it's not right there with me with every instinct that I have. I'm human. And when I get frustrated, I'm frustrated just like anyone else. And I have to stop and think, okay, what's going on here? God's working. That's what's going on here. God knows. He cares. He's working. And that comforts me to know in my frustration, God is at work. It gives me peace. I could stop and take a deep breath. God's working. And it encouraged me. Good things are going to happen in the midst of this frustration because God's working. And it allowed me to be patient. It's okay. It's okay, God. It's okay. I'm reminded. I don't like it. But it's okay, because you're working, and I know you're working. And then it gives me confidence, because good things are coming. God's working. That's what it does. And so I can say, it's all good. I can take a deep breath and say, it's all good. I want to read from a sermon that Charles Sly preached, in a sermon he titled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? He said, imagine the following scenario. Three little boys walk into a large electric compound in Okinawa when one of the workmen momentarily walks to his truck to get some tools. One of those boys touched a live wire and is instantly electrocuted to death. The parents are beside themselves with grief. They had never sought God in their lives, but one thing they did know about God was that little ones, like their dead son, before the age of accountability, go to heaven. For the first time in their lives, this dad and mom sought the Lord, which culminated a month later in their salvation. That little boy was my older brother, and I was one of those three boys. Because of my brother's death, my parents came to faith in Christ and later became missionaries after retiring from the Air Force. God used my parents to reach hundreds of military members in churches they served in Okinawa, Puerto Rico, Panama, and Japan. the end result of one tragic, sad, horrible physical death led to hundreds coming to eternal life. What is God doing in your life? I don't know. But I know He's working good. I know in every situation in my life, God is working for good things. And knowing this makes all the difference. Knowing this allows me to say, it's all good. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement. There may be something in your life today that's deeply troubling you. And you may want us to lift you up and surround you with support. There may be one this morning here that, yes, you love God, but you haven't become a child of God. And that is a part of loving God. You've never put on Christ in baptism, had your sins washed away. We'd love to stop and help you do that and celebrate with you this morning. If there's a need that you have, come while we stand and sing.